The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with Derek Dorch of the Diversa Group, which is entirely responsible for its content.
Welcome to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Derek walks you through how to win government jobs and contracts, effectively manage your government career, and best utilize government services. Every week on Fed Access, you'll learn about interesting federal agencies, workers, and jobs. Fed Access provides you the access you need to succeed in the federal government. And now your host, Derek T. Dorch.
Welcome to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Thank you for stopping by the show. We're always glad to have you. We're going to have a good show today. We're going to be talking about federal workers, federal employees. What's going on with them? A lot of different things have been happening with federal employees, federal employment, and a number of different issues, everything from benefits and everything else. And so we're going to have Colleen Kelly joining us, and she's going to be talking about a new kind of public service campaign that they have going on based on a report about federal workers and kind of getting kids and getting young people interested in federal employment again. We've had these ebbs and flows of people either very, very interested in federal employment or not interested. It's like we're going back into that stage, and we have to change that. We're going to be talking about a number of different issues, but let me welcome Colleen Kelly, president of NTEU. And you can find them at NTEU.org. NTEU.org. Is that right?
It is. That's right.
So how you doing, Colleen?
Good, Derek. Busy, but good.
I know. Hey, this campaign you guys got going on, I mean, kind of theyworkforus.org and everything else. Talk to us about this report and what it showed, and then talk to us about the campaign.
Well, at NTEU, we're very concerned about the number of federal employees who are eligible to retire in the next 3 years. They actually number over 600,000.
Wow.
And our concern is we want to make sure that there are interested and qualified applicants out there who are interested in working for the federal government, who want to contribute to public service, who recognize and see the value and the importance of the work that is done by federal agencies and by federal employees. And so we're considering a public service campaign to try to spread the word and make sure that there are a lot of facts out there about federal employees versus some of the fiction that people, you know, might hear every day. And so we conducted a survey of more than 1,000 parents, and we found that these were parents with school-age children between the ages of 8 and 22, and we found that only 37% of parents have discussed a possible federal career with their child, and that only 8% of the kids are interested in federal careers. So that alarmed us because it confirms the fact that too few people are thinking about entering federal service, and especially those who are in school today, which, of course, are the future of our country, as well as, of the federal workforce.
Do you think, Colleen, in conducting this survey, and I know, of course, we can always kind of pull different things out, but do you think it's more of a dynamic that the federal government has not, and really the federal government is in the news every day, right? I mean, everything you see, whether it be CNN or the local channels or whatever the case is, whether it be EPA, FBI, CIA, DOD, I mean, there's always a federal agency in the news, but do you think that it's not translating down to people in terms of careers that people are doing this? Is it kind of a miseducation or lack of education that's going on?
Well, I think a lot of the news stories are about maybe when things go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not about the work that federal employees and federal agencies do every day. One of the things that I believe is true without exception is that most of the work done by federal employees is done under the radar. It's work that is taken for granted by our country. Everybody just assumes federal employees will be on the job getting things done, whether it's school lunches for kids or whether it's protecting our country or whether it's keeping the air and the water clean. These things don't just happen by themselves. And so, and those are not the stories that you ever see on the news. And so I think that when kids are thinking about a career, unless they happen to know someone who works for the federal government and who talks about their career and about how interesting it is and what a difference it makes and how important it is, or if they have someone in their family or if someone comes to their school to talk about work that they do, you know, for the federal government and as a federal employee, there's just not a lot of information out there, and it probably doesn't even get on the screen of a lot of the kids. And that's why we thought that focusing on the parents was important because we know that, you know, parents talk to their kids about right. what they want to be when they grow up and what kind of classes they want to take and, you know, what they think is fun and what they think they're good at and what they could do with that from a job or a career perspective.
You know, I thought it was interesting on your site, theyworkforus.org. You really kind of pointed out, if you look in the spotlight section, you really kind of, you know, pointed out a lot of these smaller agencies, Administration for Children and Families, Administration for Community Living, you know, the dynamics of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, the Farm Service Agency, you know, the Food Nutrition and Consumer Services, and all these other kind of, you know, smaller agencies or sub agencies under bigger, bigger departments and everything like that. The federal government is so massive, and you kind of talked about, you know, having qualified people. There's always that kind of discussion that people, some people say, you know, I'm having a hard time getting into the federal government. They say they're hiring, but I'm having a hard time getting into it. But then they see all these different agencies. Where's the disconnect between those two?
Well, I think part of it is knowing where to go to get information. And part of it is knowing the wide range of occupations that are available in the federal government. I mean, there are park rangers and food safety inspectors and chemists and map makers and law enforcement officers, you know, bank examiners, environmental specialists, nuclear engineers. I think are not kind of, you know, not what people think of when they just think of a federal employee. They might think of an office worker, you know, and there are just so many occupations. So the one of the websites that we have linked to our theyworkforus.org is the website at OPM. It's opm.gov, which lists every job in the federal government and information about every job so that you could research there and identify something that you're interested in. And they might end up having that job at an agency that you never even heard of.
Right.
You know, so we're trying to focus the information and education about career opportunities versus like the name of an agency so that you don't have to know exactly where to look. You don't have to know even the name of the occupation. You can go to opm.gov and look at all those jobs. And one of the other things is the opm.gov. It's on their website, but the website is actually USAjobs.gov. And that's what lists them all.
Right.
And the other thing that I think there's a lot of misinformation out there about is that many people believe that most federal government jobs are in Washington, D.C. And that could not be further from the truth. In fact, 85% of federal employees work outside of the D.C. area. They are literally in every city and state across our country. And but again, unless you know someone who works for the federal government, you might not be aware of that.
Right.
My bet is many people probably also don't know that there are 50 federal employees who have won the Nobel Prize.
I didn't know that.
Yes. Wow. So a lot of interesting work, a lot of creative work. I mean, the potential for just so many things that are not thought about.
Right. You know, with all of that, in terms of, you know, as we look at this piece and you're starting this campaign, when do you think is the right age to start engaging the young people to say, listen, you know, this is the time that we want? I mean, you know, because we always kind of talk about careers and everything else. Should this be more of a dynamic of curriculum now that is put, you know, amongst people and say, listen, as you're talking about the careers in local law enforcement, now also add the park ranger, as you're talking about certain things, you know, do you want this to be added to a current curriculum, or do you think this should be a special thing to say, listen, when you're learning about government, learn about government careers?
Actually, I like both of those ideas.
Okay.
There.
Okay.
Yeah, because what we're trying to do is plant the seed that these opportunities exist that you just might have never thought of in the federal government. And I think that needs to be for sure in high school, you know, if not sooner. Because by then, you know, many kids are deciding at least the field of work that they want to be in, and then they just might not have any idea where some of those opportunities exist. in the federal government.
Right, right. You know, I'm thinking about something because we always have this conversation, and we got to take a quick break right quick, but I do want you to kind of talk about this because you talk about qualifications, and I get concerned sometimes that especially there's a big part, not all part of the government, but there's big parts of government, you know, DOD, the intel community, Homeland Security, they require these clearances. And a lot of times if we don't have this discussion with the young people right now, then you create, you know, sometimes they create themselves into a box in which they are disqualified from federal employment before they even get started. I want to talk about that when we come back. We're talking to Colleen Kelly. She is the president of NTEU, one of the biggest. Are you guys the biggest?
We are the largest independent federal okay. sector union.
Okay, so you guys are the largest union for federal employees, NTEU. You can find them at NTEU.org. We're talking to her about federal employment, about a new campaign that they are doing right now to get young people interested in federal careers, make sure that we have a qualified workforce that is coming into the government after 2017 when many people will start retiring. We're going to be talking about these issues and much more when we come back. You listen to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch from Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you're just joining us, we are talking about federal careers. We're talking about federal employment. Some interesting numbers. About 600,000 people in the federal workforce will be eligible for retirement in 2017. You know, eventually, you know, people will retire. Eventually, there are going to be openings in federal government. We need to have qualified people who are going to take those slots. The biggest union, NTEU, is doing something right now, trying to have a campaign in order to make sure that people will be eligible, will be qualified to take these slots. They found out there are a lot of people, parents are not talking to their kids. A lot of schools are not talking to kids about federal employment. And a lot of people don't know about this stuff. We're talking to Colleen Kelly. She's the president of NTEU, and she's breaking down what they found in their survey and their results in their report. Colleen, in the dynamic of qualifications, I was mentioning at the break, I get a lot of times, I hear a lot of young people, they're applying to federal work and then they say, oh, I ran into something. I got to go through the security clearance and, you know, I got to get this dynamic and I used marijuana a couple times or this, that, and the other. If we start people off early and start talking about what is required to be a federal worker, like, hey, listen, you can't have these things on your record, it can really kind of change the scope of some of the issues we're dealing with, can it?
It can. And one of the things we are focused on this campaign is that the earlier kids start thinking about what they want to do, the more focused they would be on kind of the path to successfully get them there. Mm-hmm. And whether that's about qualifications and classes that you take in high school and college, or whether it's about certifications that you receive, or whether it's about thinking about the fact that someday a job, not just in the federal government, but, you know, in a lot of other places these days are requiring security clearances of some kind. And thinking about that in advance, I think all becomes part of the chart that kids could chart for themselves and make conscious decisions in the future.
Right.
Between now and when they choose to, and to enter the workforce. One of the things that we know about the federal workforce is that 21% of them have advanced degrees. They have a master's degree, and that's a lot higher than in the private sector. There are a lot of really technical jobs as well as law enforcement jobs. There are a lot of positions that are focused on the sciences and technology and engineering and math, you know, which so many of the kids and the schools are mm-hmm. focused on today.
The whole STEM programs, the science.
Yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You know, with that, Colleen, you know, if as we look at that, there's about I think the numbers are about 2 million. It's still about 2 million federal employees. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. And with all of that, I mean, it's when we're looking at the federal dynamic, and I hear this on a number of different levels, are we looking for a certain person who just truly is passionate about the country and everything else? Are we looking for the person who now, because career conversations have changed where people kind of talk about long-term employment and coming in and staying with the organization for a long time versus maybe people who kind of come in, stay a couple years, and then keep on moving around different things. What do you think is going to be the best, is going to to best serve the country and the federal government and, you know, and those who are going to be doing that public service dynamic? Do we want people who are truly passionate about, you know, government service and who want to stay there for a long time? Or do we want people who may come into a sector and do technology for a minute and then come back in the government, then swing back out?
I actually think we want a combination, Derek.
Okay.
I think, I mean, the passion that you ask about, in my experience, it actually happens a couple of different ways. Some of those entering the workforce already have the passion. They know what they want to do. They know what they want a career in. And many of them want public service. That's what they know they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Others come in because of the technical nature of the job, the opportunity that it will create. They want to try it and see. And then they develop the passion while they're there in the agency for the mission of that agency that they probably didn't have the passion before, mostly because they didn't really know what that agency did.
Right.
They knew about an occupation. They knew about a specialty. But once they're there on the ground and they see the difference that that agency makes, how hardworking and dedicated federal workers are, and they're part of something that really makes a difference, then that passion is there. But even with that, regardless of whether they come with the passion or develop it when they get there, I do think we need a combination of both, those who come for a career and those who come to make contributions for some lesser period of time.
Do you think, you know, I mean, there's always the concern about, the application process, the timelines that it takes. And then also as the markets have, you know, as other jobs are starting to come back, as the private sector has started to improve, as, you know, we're seeing maybe other industries maybe bounce back a little bit. And we've talked about, because, you know, I would assume we want the best and brightest in federal government. I mean, I've always thought that the best and brightest should be in federal government because the stakes are so high in federal government. You know, when we're talking about the competition, you know, especially for young people who are looking at certain dynamics and they may be, you know, the bright scientist or they may be that bright person who's going to help run an agency or whatever the case is. Are you concerned about the competition against the private sector that may be coming up over the next few years?
Well, that competition has always been there.
Mm-hmm.
Surely when the economy was not generating the number of new jobs, you know, that everyone had hoped for, that there was less of that competition. Of course, a good thing for the country is that that's turning now. Even though it's not as fast as we had all hoped, it's definitely turning. And so the competition will be there. But I think that, again, if the right information is out there and if the facts are out there about the opportunities in the federal government, just getting that into the conversation, I think, might bring many of those to consider a federal career that wouldn't have before. Many parents today talk to their kids about being doctors or lawyers or accountants or engineers, and what they don't realize is that every one of those occupations exists in the federal government.
Right, exactly.
So it's not about changing someone's mind on a career or an occupation. It's about where they want to do that work and the contributions that they can make in the federal government.
Are you having this conversation with agencies in terms of, I mean, because it seems as if the agencies are, you know, along with your campaign, the agencies have to become stakeholders in this and say, listen, how can we make sure that we're, you know, working with NTEU to get out there? Maybe, you know, we send a doctor or a scientist or whoever, a park ranger to a classroom and talk on career day or do something like that. You know, these agencies are in all communities. They're in all 50 states. They're in all of our cities and counties. We need to start embracing, you know, the civil service dynamic of kind of more community outreach, one. And then two, we need to make sure our application process is one that's seamless or smooth enough so it doesn't bog down the system. And we need to make sure these internships are available that we can get maybe young people interested. Are you having those conversations with the agencies?
We are. And we do think that presence of, you know, agencies being part of whether they're you know, education fairs or job fairs at high schools and colleges, we think that's a very important part of what they should be doing. However, in this day and age where every agency has had their budget cut and they have fewer staff today than they did yesterday, one of the first things that got cut was these outreach programs because they needed the employees to be doing the frontline work, the mission work of the agency.
Right.
And so, and that has happened for that reason because of money. And I think another thing is for too many people, they've thought that technology has kind of taken over as the means of communication. And so they say, oh, well, you can go on the internet and you can find information and we don't really need to be out there and have a live presence. And I think that that's a missed opportunity for sure. Now, to your other question about the application process, of course, all of these federal jobs are available through USA Jobs, the .gov address, which is the OPM website. And without question, most would tell you that the process needs to be improved, but I will tell you that it's better today than it was a year ago and 2 years ago, and I think it'll be better a year from now than it is now. So rather than just relying on those kinds of things, that's why you also see up on the NTU website that they work for us, you see the interviews that we've done. We call them the family videos of current federal employees. They are current NTU members who are having conversations with their children about why they chose a federal career and about why they are committed to the work that they do. And we're seeing those videos start some conversations out there. We thought if we could actually show parents having that conversation, you know, that that might give people an idea, maybe a higher comfort level of even suggesting that to their kids.
I think that's a great idea. We got to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to finish this discussion. Then we want to kind of go into some other topics of federal pay, retirement, agency funding, IRS funding. We want to kind of talk about those things. You guys are on top of all these things. And I also want to get a sense of, and I want to discuss this when we come back, I want to get a sense of what do you think is the morale of federal workers right now? I mean, federal workers, it's kind of the ebbs and flow. I mean, a lot of times they get beat up and, you know, unjustly beat up by a number of members of Congress or other things like that, maybe, you know, members of the public. But I want to get your sense, because you talked to a lot of the federal workers, and I want to kind of see a status report on where federal workers are feeling right now. We're talking to Colleen Kelly. She is the president of NTEU. They're the largest union for federal workers. You can find them at NTEU.org. We'll be right back with continuing this conversation on Fed Access. You listen to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you're just joining us, we have been talking about federal careers. An interesting take on federal careers is getting parents to talk to their children about federal careers. With the whole dynamic of federal employees possibly retiring in 2017, over 600,000 of them out of a 2 million person workforce, that's a great chunk of federal workers who are going to be eligible for retirement. And as the economy improves, we're thinking that more and more people will be retiring. But we're talking about getting these young people really engaged and starting to think about federal careers, starting to think about the various agencies who are hiring, starting to understand their federal government as well. We're talking to Colleen Kelly. She is the president of NTEU, the largest federal union that's out there. They're NTEU.org. They have a great new website that's out there. And that is, Colleen, tell me that site again. They work for us.
Theyworkforus.org.
Theyworkforus.org, which is the site that's educating people about the federal workforce. Colleen, as we think about this kind of piece, and this kind of even just kind of jumped into my mind, we see a number of different dynamics where government is so engaged. It almost seems that we need to have this kind of education to be part of our government classroom conversations, because there, to me, it seems as if that students need to understand who are the various agencies who are doing. You need to know about the EPA. You need to know about the Social Security Administration. You need to know about these small taxation administrations. You need to know about all these administrations. So as you're having your government or maybe your civics conversations, you can understand who's doing what, which is going to make you a better citizen, not only to possibly get a job, but also to get services.
I think recognizing the benefits that are provided to our country by the work done by federal agencies is something that is not talked about enough. As I said earlier, you know, I just think so many of these things are taken for granted. And we're lucky that we have the frontline federal employees who actually deliver on those things that the country needs. They're not looking for a lot of fanfare or a lot of parades. They would like to be respected, and they would like to be valued and to have the work that they and their agencies do talked about in a positive light, you know, versus the way you sometimes see it reported these days.
You know, as we kind of go into this whole dynamic with the federal workforce, what's the morale right now? I mean, what are you hearing from federal employees? I mean, you're the largest union out there. What are you hearing from federal employees about how they feel right now?
Well, unfortunately, I would say the morale is not where it needs to be. It's not in a very good place. You know, these have been a number of very challenging years to be a federal employee.
Right.
Whether it's about, you know, pay freezes or sequestration or unpaid furlough days or agency funding not being what's needed, not having enough employees. You know, there are so many agencies that have fewer employees today than they did a few years ago, and yet I can assure you their workload has not decreased. So the work that was left behind by all those who left has been added to the workload of those who, you know, are still there. So, you know, it's unfortunate because the work they do is so important. And like I said, they're not looking for, you know, parades, but they would like, you know, some of the rhetoric against federal employees to stop and for there to be a recognition that the things that they do because it was either mandated by Congress.
Right.
They're enforcing laws passed by Congress. They're doing things to keep the country safe, you know, to keep the economy moving, to keep banking industry safe. I mean, they're doing really important things, and you don't see many headlines about that.
You know, this is my own personal rant right here. I've always been bothered when I see politicians really kind of go off on the federal government. And of course, we need to have accountability, but you go off on the federal government, but then the next thing you need the federal government to go into Syria or to go in and attack ISIS. I mean, that's all the federal government. It's all either, you know, the Pentagon, DOD, whoever the case is. But one minute it's a person who's really kind of like, you know, no government, we hate government. Then the next minute I need these services in order for my constituents or order to protect us. You know, I mean, that's always bothered me. Is that what federal government employees are kind of feeling? That kind of hypocrisy?
They just feel that at times they are unjustifiably targeted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when it comes to things about, you know, their pay and their benefits, they are just easy targets because everything about a federal employee's pay and compensation and work life is decided by those who are elected.
Right.
And so they're just the easiest things to touch. And I think those who use those issues for political advantage or for political debate are really demeaning and dismissing the importance of the work that they do every day. It's really a disservice to our country for them to do that.
When we talk about a federal employee pay, I mean, what are some of the issues that have been some of the main concerns that you guys have been addressing?
Well, of course, over the past few years, it has been the fact that federal employee pay was frozen for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then this past year, January of this year, actually 14, there was a 1% pay raise that was implemented. And federal employees are, you know, like everyone else, they live paycheck to paycheck, most of them, and they're looking for some recognition that those 3 years of a pay raise really put them behind the rest of the country. So they're looking now to what will happen in January of 15, and it appears that another 1% pay raise is on track. That's the amount that was proposed by the president for January of 15. And, you know, we're watching this closely because there could be congressional action, you know, on this issue. And the president has to make a decision at the end of this month, actually, the end of this week, to issue an alternative pay plan based on some legislation that exists today. And that would allow him to set a 1% pay raise for 15, which is the amount that he proposed in his budget. And, you know, after 3 years of pay freezes, after unpaid furlough days, the government shutdown, you know, an increase of only 1% is, you know, is really not enough. And it puts them, you know, in a position that is, you know, I think not fair to them based on the work that they do.
You know, as we look at federal employee pay and we look at this dynamic of, you know, these the 1% increases, especially as the private sector and everything else. I mean, are you hearing from some federal workers that, you know, they have debated possibly leaving? I mean, you know, are we looking at losing some very qualified federal workers who you know, are doing some critical things, whether it be scientists or whoever the case is, because the pay is no longer kind of keeping up?
Oh, I think that is always a risk, Derek, every day.
Okay.
And then the question is whether we lose them to to the private sector, mm-hmm. or whether we lose them to retirement, which is really as big a risk as, you know, we see these numbers coming down the road. But absolutely. And especially, as you said earlier, you know, and as the economy turns and there become more positions available out there that would be competing for them and for their skills and perhaps with a different set of, you know, pay and benefits attached to it.
You know, if you had utopia, and I know this is kind of this may not ever happen, but utopia for federal workers right now, what would make things right? You know, if a congressman or whoever the case is was listening to you right now on the show, and what would make things right where federal workers would say, you know what, you have, you know, you've brought the pay increases back to where it needs to be. Things have stabilized and we all feel good about kind of the dynamics of you know, some people will kind of say, well, do we put the government on pay for performance or do we just kind of, you know, continue to give certain increases? But what would set it right for federal employees?
I would say providing fair and competitive pay raises that are tied into what's called ECI, the Employment Cost Index. That is a fair measure of what, you know, salaries are being paid for similar jobs in the private sector. That's all that federal employees are looking for, you know, from an annual perspective. As far as pay for performance, most positions in the federal government have annual appraisals attached to them where those employees are accountable for performing their job at an acceptable or an above level, and then they're compensated appropriately. So I would say that that already exists. But the other thing I would say that would make it better for federal employees is if agencies were funded at the levels that they need to be able to hire the number of employees they need mm-hmm. with the expertise that they need to be able to accomplish the mission of the agency, again, not just for the success of the agency, but for the success of the country. So many of them are operating far below that level that it's devastating, and it really puts the whole system and the whole country at a disadvantage. The easiest one to point to is to the IRS, where regardless of what, you know, people think about the IRS and if that's their favorite agency or not, the fact is the IRS brings in 93% of the revenue that funds the entire federal government. And that revenue that they bring in is not revenue that they assess or that they choose to assess. They are implementing the laws that are passed by Congress on the taxes that are due to be collected by taxpayers across the country. That's their mission, and that's what they do. They have 10,000 fewer employees today than they had just 3 years ago.
And I want you to hold that right there, Colleen, because we've got to take a quick break. I want to kind of continue this conversation about kind of agency funding, getting agencies back up to the numbers that they're supposed to be, because a lot of, like you said, a lot of people are doing two or three, you know, jobs, and one person is handling the workload of you know, two or three or several people at one point in time. And so people are definitely kind of, you know, especially, and that goes into the morale, but it also goes into what kind of services are being provided, you know, to the citizens and what kind of work is being done. I want to talk about this a little bit more when we come back. We're talking about a number of different issues, everything from federal careers, about getting into them, but now getting to the issues about federal employee pay, agency funding, making sure that agencies have what they need in order to do the right job. We're talking to Colleen Kelly. She is the president of NTEU, which is the largest federal union for federal employees. You can find them at NTEU.org. We'll be right back after this break. You're listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you just joined us, we have been talking about a number of different issues, so you got to go back and catch up and listen to the show online or wherever the case is. But if you just joined us, we've been talking about a number of federal issues, everything from federal careers, but all the way down to these important issues about federal employee pay, and now talking about federal agency funding, making sure these federal agencies can get back to the funding levels they need and also hire the number of people who they need in order to do the job effectively. We're talking to Colleen Kelly. She is the president of NTEU, which is the largest federal employee union out there. Again, you can find them at NTEU.org. Colleen, when we talk about the funding levels, if you had to kind of look at it from a perspective over the past several years, what has been the cut for agencies? I mean, and we'll get into the IRS, but overall, in terms of number of different, have they been cut like 20%? I mean, how much of their budgets have been really kind of cut in terms of operational budgets?
Well, each number is actually different for each agency because while in the beginning the cuts started to be the same because of sequester. Then, of course, different deals were made, different bills were passed, and so the impact on each agency was a little bit different. But the fact is that sequester legislation is still in place, and if it is not rescinded, it will be back in effect in 2016. And we're going to be seeing serious cuts, 10% at least, across all agencies. And even for 15, what we are seeing right now, of course, is there are only about, 2 weeks maybe left that Congress will be in session before the November elections. So it's very unlikely that Congress is going to pass any separate appropriations bills. That will put everyone back in the position, every agency, probably under a CR, some kind of a short-term continuing resolution. And if they do that, that will run through probably the first quarter of the year, because then by the time they come back after the November elections, you know, before they do anything. The only other option, if there are no appropriations bills passed and no CR, the other option is a government shutdown.
Right.
And I don't think that anyone is interested in seeing another government shutdown. But the uncertainty is very, very difficult on agencies, because they're trying to make plans for the new fiscal year that starts on October 1st. And under a CR, individual agency funding needs, no matter what their mission is, no matter what their responsibilities are, they do not get addressed. And short-term CRs just make it impossible for agencies to operate normally, whatever that means to them.
You know, you just mentioned something that's really, really kind of concerning for me, because I think you hit this across the board, not only for government workers, but also government contractors and everything else. This lack of stability. And, you know, as you know, we've got 2016, as you mentioned, we've got things only funded up to a certain point. But, you know, a lot of people have been concerned about this stability, and a lot of people are not taking actions because they don't know if there's going to be funding past 2016. They don't know if certain things are going to be able to happen. And so people hold back on hiring. People hold back on taking certain initiatives. People hold back on doing a number of different things. Are you seeing that?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, agencies are very concerned about doing hiring that they cannot sustain in the future. The last thing an agency wants to do is hire employees in 14 that they have to riff in 16 or 15 or 17. You know,
right.
So they're doing the best they can to try to guess what their sustainability will be, but it really makes it impossible to be able to do that. And absolutely, it delays hiring for some of them. And the other thing that it does is, because the cuts have been so severe, that we've been talking to agencies about acknowledging the fact that they have to just stop doing certain kinds of work, because you cannot just keep pushing all the work on those who are left behind. Not just from a morale perspective, but
right.
from a quality of work perspective, from a balance of work-life perspective, you know, success of the mission. I mean, all of those things.
So your conversation recently has been to agencies, listen, you cannot sustain what you're doing. You either have to go to Congress and tell them we cannot do this anymore because we don't have enough people. You can't keep on, you know, just, you know, giving people additional duties and just kind of saying, I'm going to give you an additional burden over and over again to the same employees.
Right, because there are only so many hours in a day mm-hmm. and in a week, and the work either won't get done or it won't get done as it should, and then the agency is going to be in a position, which they are today, they have to determine their priorities. Now, agencies do that every day, and they should be doing it every day.
Right.
But when you don't have the funding to do everything that truly is a priority because either Congress mandated it or the country needs it, I mean, I had mentioned the IRS earlier, but mm-hmm. that's another perfect example. The filing season starts on January 1st, and taxpayers file their tax returns and expect to get a timely refund and to get all their questions answered in between so that they can file accurately. And January 1st comes whether or not the IRS has been given funding. It comes whether or not there's a CR. It doesn't
right.
matter.
Right.
January 1st comes.
Right, yeah.
And
yeah.
the IRS has to be ready.
And people expect, and Congress expects the IRS to collect that money.
Yes, they do.
right.
Yes, they do.
Mm-hmm. You know, with all of that, as you speak on the IRS and everything else, and we talk on these different levels, what's the holdup? Is it Congress? I mean, who needs to do this? Does Congress need to come together? Where is it that somebody has to make this kind of change? And do you feel as if Congress is not listening? I mean, what is it that's holding people up?
I don't know the answer to that question of what's holding them up. It appears to be politics.
Okay, yeah.
But
yeah.
what I do know is that the only one that can pass an appropriations bill and give money to an agency for their operations is Congress. That's the only way appropriations can be passed.
And the president can only do so much through executive order.
Yes.
You know, with all of that, and as we kind of close out and everything else, I mean, as we look at the dynamics of agency funding, I'm seeing and just kind of monitoring certain things on USA Jobs and other places. I've been seeing a lot of agencies have been, you know, rather than kind of hiring people kind of for full civil service, but I'm seeing a lot more temp jobs or NTE, not to exceed positions or things like that, or even sometimes personnel service contractor type positions with different agencies. Is that going to be the trend now that some agencies take that say, listen, I can't predict the future for a long term. I don't know what my budget's going to look like, so I need to bring in people more temporarily?
Well, I think some are doing that maybe because of the funding issue, but I think others are doing it for the wrong reasons. They're doing it because they want, they're not looking for a stable workforce. They're not looking for a career workforce.
Hmm.
And I think that's a mistake. I think they decrease their pool of applicants when they say it's a temporary position.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if someone is out there in the workforce and they're looking for an exciting full-time position and something that they can count on for the next couple of years, they want something that is going to give them promotion opportunities and potential, and a temporary job is not going to do that. So I think that's a big mistake. We've seen agencies do it, and as you said, if they're doing it for funding reasons, which there may be a small part of that that's justified, but in my experience, most of it is not about that.
So, and let me ask this question. Is a lot of times these decisions being made by politicals, or are they being made by people who are kind of career people who, you know, I mean, because sometimes people get worried that politicals are only there for that short period of time, so they don't necessarily have the longevity of the agency in you know, in their best interest.
You know,
what
I think
it
depends on the agency
okay.
and how they're structured
okay.
as to where those decisions get made, and if, you know, the political appointees are in that framework, or if you know, if it's more in a chief human capital officer or labor relations forum.
Right.
I don't think there's one answer for every agency.
Thank you so much, Colleen. This has been an interesting conversation. So many different issues are on the table. We've got to get young people educated about federal careers, about government service and the government as a whole, but we also need to get federal employees feeling better about their work and also being treated the right way. We're going to stay on top of this, Colleen. Definitely want to have you back at some point in time to keep us updated on how things are going.
Thank you, Derek. I'd appreciate that.
Thank you, Colleen.
You've been listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show or any of our weekly programs anytime at federalnewsradio.com. Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.